Don't change that dial. WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. And if you don't listen up, we're going to come out and get you anyway. That's Al Barbarino, our friend.
Let's give him a shot. To sing.
2 seconds. Quickie.
That was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
And he puts up with us.
Working or at leisure.
Jesus wants to show the way. Please, Al, don't get angry, Al.
If we take the time to ask him.
I don't want to hurt Al's feelings, but I've heard this song so often. I'm sick of it, Al. I have to tell you this. But anyway, it was so wonderful of him to record that for us. And Paul Val to write
it. It was written by Paul Val. And recorded by Al Barbarino.
And listeners, before you get lost, we have a very, very, very special program. We're going to talk today about changing your heart, opening your heart to Jesus. Now, that we're Catholics, and on Sundays we're given a lot of words, and they're beautiful. But we receive the Eucharist. We receive the heart of Jesus. And we're telling everybody who's listening, unless you're open to his heart, you're missing the whole boat. And we have some wonderful guests. Why don't you introduce them, Tony?
Well, why don't we let them introduce themselves? Because we have such beautiful guests here. I don't think we're going to have to work that hard today.
Thank God.
I think they'll do the work. Donna, why don't you introduce yourself first?
I'm Donna Fidali, and I'm from St. Catherine of Siena. And I'm married, and I have two wonderful daughters.
And you have some great ministries, and what would they be?
Adoration at St. Catherine of Siena. We're lucky enough to have it every Friday from 9 in the morning till 9 in the evening. And we have a rosary guild at St. Catherine of Siena where we make rosaries for the missions, the prisons, for you, Tony, at St. Catherine's, and our families and friends.
And the first Sunday of every month, we give out free rosaries and free Bibles. So anyone who wants any freebies, just come and see us at St. Catherine.
And, you know, our show, a list of guests, spans from Franklin Square to Brooklyn to Tanzania. Wow.
So, Father.
We've gone international. Father?
Yes. First, thanks for having us on the show. Father Charlie Keeney, a diocesan priest from the Diocese of Brooklyn. I presently work as the chaplain at Long Island University's Brooklyn campus. And I hope to share a story that took place because of the fact that I have this particular position and how Jesus called me to do something a little different and how it's been working in my life and through me, the lives of students here and young children far away in Tanzania, where our next guest, Sister Flora, comes from. Sister Flora?
Tell us who you are, Sister.
Sister Flora Ndwata from Tanzania, Arusha. I came here to visit Father Charlie, who is the one helping us in our center. And maybe briefly I can say, I'm coming from the Congregation of Sisters of St. Gemma Galgani, a religious institution of the Diocese of Dodoma, Tanzania. The congregation started in 1947 in the response of local economic needs, particularly for orphaned and underprivileged children, women, at the same time to save the poor and those who need. But also we are working in hospitals, schools, at the same time in evangelization. Now I'm working in Arusha with the children who their mothers are staying in prison. Thank you.
Wow, and you know, listeners, if you have hearts of stone, you listen to our stories today. Okay. And let your heart be melted. I'd like to play a little song, though, Trevor, just to get you in the hearty mood.
Thank you.
That's right.
Make my heart your dwelling place, a temple just for you, a consecrated resting place, a vessel ever true.
make my heart a fire with the brightness of your sun. Make my heart a dwelling place for the Holy One. Make my heart your dwelling place, temple just for you, a consecrated resting place, a vessel ever true. Make my heart a fire with the brightness of your sun. Make my heart dwelling place for the Holy One. Make my heart a dwelling place for the
listeners. Jesus is a person, a divine person. The Holy Spirit is a person, divine person. God the Father is a person. And they're calling you to open your heart. Open your heart. Come into His love. Feel His love. And we have three people today with stories. Maybe, Donna, maybe you can tell us a little bit how you got into God's heart, or how God's heart got into you.
Growing up, I had a mother who was very devoted to the Blessed Mother, and through her, I was very close to Mary. And but I had a little problem with God the Father, because my father was an alcoholic, so I had the relationship with God that I saw him as a, you know, a judge or you know, ready to zap me, because that's the relationship I had with my father. But through the years, the Blessed Mother, as she usually does, shows us her son, Jesus. And, you know, I grew up, I went away from the church for a while, but she was always there with me. And as I got older, I got married, and that marriage didn't work out. And I started seeing a priest, Father Anthony Stanganelli, who's my spiritual director. He's wonderful.
He's great.
And we worked together through an annulment process. And he really started to show me that God is a loving Father, that God wanted to change my heart, that He wanted to enter into my heart, and, you know, Jesus. And so through that process, I started to see that how much God loved me and wanted to change my heart. And, you know, and then I started to go to adoration, and little by little.
And some people may not know what adoration is. Maybe you tell them. You know, there are some people who just don't know what it's about.
Well, adoration is we sit in the presence of the true Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So Jesus is exposed in the monstrance, and we go and we sit, and we believe that that is truly the body of Christ. So we are really sitting there in the presence of Jesus. And I believe many graces flow as you're sitting there. You know, I like to think of it like when you're laying out in the sun and, you know, you get a suntan. But in adoration, you're sitting there, and all these graces are just attaching to us, mm-hmm. and our hearts are changing. And, you know, for me, I believe that Jesus invited me there, and He wanted to have a personal relationship with me, and it was there that my heart really started to change.
What happened?
You know, I think I was grieving losses or hurts or brokenness that I've experienced in my life, and I would go to adoration because it was quiet, and I felt He was just such a good friend. You know, like when you're sitting with a good friend and you don't have to have a conversation, but just to be with that person and you feel the closeness. He started to, you know, work. I would go there sometimes for 2 hours, and it would take me at least an hour just to have my mind stop mm-hmm. the thinking and the, you know. And then I would know Jesus would say, okay, now let's really let's really connect here. So it was through that I just felt very close, and I started to feel a lot of healings.
You know, Donna, I'm a psychologist, and I advocate adoration therapy. You know what that is? When you go to a therapist, the therapist sits there and says nothing and says, I earn my living at that, nodding my head and saying, you know? But when you go to adoration, after in therapy, you do all the talking. But when you go to adoration, you become still.
Yes.
And Jesus does all the talking. That's how personal it is.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no, that's absolutely true.
Good.
And there's a prayer I would pray, you know, if you have a grieving heart, you know, Jesus wants to enter into it and change it. If you have a anger and resentment, Jesus wants to come into your heart in adoration and, you know, heal that and give forgiveness and mercy. And, you know, adoration is just a great thing, especially for children, I think, you know, bringing your kids.
And but also Jesus wants to be come into your life, not only through adoration, but through every aspect of your life.
Right.
And does he come into your life in all aspects, in your family life, in your personal life, in your raising your children? How does that work?
Yes, he does come into my life through everything, because I think what I get from adoration, when I leave, I'm able to be a better example. I feel more peaceful, you know, and it helps out in so many ways to know that I have that relationship with Jesus.
I always have the image of Jesus knocking on the door, and adoration is the place where you open the door. And once he's in there, he don't let go.
Right.
Don't let go. And those of you who have turned away from the church because of a variety of reasons, whatever it may be, you know, if you can't come to Mass and communion because you're living a life that's sinful and you can't receive Eucharist, the next best thing is to come and sit before his true presence in the Eucharist, and he'll get in.
Yes.
He'll change your heart.
He does.
But he'll also guide you on how to come back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you what to do. He'll take you every step of the way, and he'll bring you back. So if you're out there and you're concerned and you don't know how to come back to the church, leave it to Jesus. He'll do it.
And Pope Benedict the 16th first encyclical, God is love. God is love. And once you open your heart, he comes in.
Jesus and God is the greatest love story ever told.
Father, how about your story?
Thank you very much, John. My story takes place on account of the fact that I am the chaplain at Long Island University's Brooklyn campus. About 5 years ago, like the characters played by Nicholson and Freeman in The Bucket List, I wanted to go see the Serengeti Plain. And the science professor was having a course, and that was part of it. So I signed up. I went to go on safari, and we did. We had a great time seeing all the wildlife in the Serengeti, the Ngorongoro, Jane Goodall's camp, many other places, Lake Manyara.
Wow.
But the last day of the trip, we went to the parish priest, the parish for Mass, and we had a cup of coffee with the priest, Father Jack Regman, a Polish-born priest working in Arusha. And I told the college students that I was traveling with, if you have any questions, ask him, because he's like us. He's, you know, a foreigner. He speaks English. He knows why we're asking the questions and things of that sort. And in the conversation, the idea of jail came up. And it was interesting because the students knew that I had been working as a chaplain at Rikers Island at the time. And Father Jack was volunteering at the jail in Arusha. So we asked him, what's jail like over here? And he started to tell us. And the jail in Arusha is terrible compared to the jail in Rikers Island. Rikers Island is almost like a castle or a palace or a hotel. The jail in Arusha is designed for 400 people, and they have almost 1,800 inmates.
Wow.
There are no Google library, television, there are no news from outside. One meal a day, same meal every day, a bowl of porridge. Same exact meal every day. He also told us about the legal system, that over there you're considered guilty once you're accused until you prove your innocence. The direct opposite of
just
ours.
Just the opposite of ours.
Direct
system.
Opposite. Oh. And because of that, you're kind of like dirty. Nobody wants you home.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to wait sometimes as much as 5 years on an accusation to see the judge.
Wow.
Everything he said made me feel, this is terrible. And then he broke my heart. Because then he said, and if a woman has a small child, She brings that child to jail to care for, and would share the same living arrangements, a bed if she had one, the same bowl of porridge every day. And a child could spend 5 years in jail waiting for mommy to see the judge. Mm. A pregnant woman could give birth, and the child spend the first 5 years of life in jail, and she could be let go when she sees the judge. Mm. So I told Father Jack, I says, you know, somebody got to do something with these kids. And he told me he had started a project. And I kidded him. I said, that's really good that the church is doing this. He says, the church isn't. I'm doing it. So I says, well, I'm glad you are. And you're the church to these people anyway.
That's right.
So in any case, he told me that he got some of the sisters, like Sister Flora, who's with us today, and that he started with a few youngsters, ages 2 and 3, who were in jail, and mothers would let the sisters take care of them. And the idea was to hold on to them for like 5 years, like as if they went to a hotel. And at the end, the mothers would come, take the children back, and they'd be happily on their way. So I congratulated him. I says, how do you fund this? And he says, that's a problem. He says, sooner or later, like in the next 4, 5, 6 months, he goes, I'm going to run out of money, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And it was at that particular time that I heard Jesus Christ say to me, Charlie Keeney, what are you going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And I said to him, nothing. It's not my problem. I'm on vacation. Father Jack's problem. And then he said, whatsoever you do to the least of the little ones, you do unto me. And I said, well, I says, I got to take care of the little ones back at LIU, and Jack got to take care of these little ones. And then he said to me, do you love me? And I didn't want to say no to that, right? So I said, all right, I'll take Father Jack's telephone number down. So I did, and he stopped talking to me until I was home a week. And I was home a week, and he says, when are you calling him? And he kept saying, when are you going to call Father Jack? When are you going to call him? So I finally called him on the phone. He never expected to hear from me. And I said, tell me more about the home, the sisters, and the children. And he did. And he told me about the first 5 children that he had there. And he says that he started with 2 girls and 3 boys. The 2 girls were Teresia and Pascalina. I said, you could be in Italy, you know, for whatever.
Spain.
Or Spain, whatever. Yeah. Then a boy's name was David, could be in Israel, right? Then he had one named Tumaini. I said, now you're in Africa. And the 5th child, he said, was Patrick. Now, I'm Irish.
He got
I was ordained on St. Patrick's Day on purpose. Oh. My middle name is Patrick, and my family does not call me Charlie. They call me Patrick. So I told them I will help Patrick. And for the last 5 years, that cup of coffee and the follow-up conversation has really changed what I've been doing and how I've been doing it and who I've been doing it with and for.
And you have the students involved at LA Post.
At Brooklyn's campus.
Yeah.
So what happened was when I came back and I got the information from Father Jack about his children, I talked to the youngsters that I work with, and they said that they would help. They said they're going to raise some money. I said, I'm glad you want to do that, and I'm extremely grateful. And they came up with this funny idea. One of the girls had done it in high school, where people have walk-a-thons and swim-a-thons. They just, I guess they're lazy, college kids, right? They wanted to sit in rocking chairs for hours and get sponsors for every minute, every hour, and whatever. So that's what they went.
Good idea.
Any age would like that.
Palmer and I love it.
Yeah, right. So in any case, we did it, you know, and our goal was to raise $2,400, and we raised 56-something. So we're way above it, and very, very pleased with it. And we have then run charity dinners. We're going to run one in Immaculate Conception Center November 11th at Douglaston, if anybody wants to come. And we've been helping, you know, keep the home going, the original home, the idea of Father Jack's hotel. And then he expanded into creating a primary school because he wanted to send his kids to school, but the nearest school was like 3 miles away. So the sisters started a school some years ago with a pre-K. Next year they added the kindergarten, then they added the 1st, 2nd, 3rd grade, and they will add a grade every year until the 7th grade. School is 7 years there rather than 8 like in our system. So this past year, the students of the Newman Club at the Brooklyn campus raised enough money to buy her a brand new school bus, which is what she wanted this year. And next year, when we begin school, I told some of the students last night, our goal in the next year or two is to raise $50,000 additional dollars to build a volunteer center at her center so that college-age students or others could go and spend time there donating their time and talent. And it won't cost them anything to stay there if that's what they're doing. So,
Father, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, you can get in touch with me either through St. Augustine's Church in Park Slope, where I live, all right? and the telephone number and address, of course, would be in the blue book and any place else, right? Or you call me, my own telephone number, 917-757-8862. Or you could email me. My email address is very easy. Charles.Keeney, K-E-E-N-E-Y, at liu.edu. I use the one at Long Island University.
Why not? Right.
Charles.Keeney at liu.edu.
Could you give that phone number again,
sure.
Father?
Sure. 917-757-8862.
Okay, got it.
Thank you very much. All right.
But look how God touched your heart, huh?
Oh, he changed a lot of things.
What was the sentence that he do you what?
Do you love me?
Yeah, and you couldn't say no to that, huh?
I was afraid to say no to that.
How can you possibly say no?
That was too strong, too definite.
Especially when you heard the name Patrick, another person.
Well,
then
when I heard that, I was...
All God's children, huh?
What if he would ask you, who do you say I am? What would you have done?
I would have quoted Peter.
Sister, you work in the center, and you work with the children. Tell us a little bit about you and how you do this.
First of all, as I said before, that my English is really bad, but you please be patient.
But your heart speaks the language of love.
Thank you. Thank Father Charlie has already said many things, so maybe I can add a few. We are really working with those children this time. Before, the sisters were working in the jail, and they found those children with their mothers, and they asked, why are you living with these children here? They said many reasons. Maybe others were coming with these children because I don't have anybody to care to them. So that's why I come with my baby here. So we really get pain with that, but we thank God that Bishop of Arusha Diocese, Joseph Atleburu, asked the sisters of St. Gemma, who were assisting mothers and children in the local jail, to give the children a real home where they could grow, play, and have happy lives. Mm. So the sisters appreciate that because... our mission is to help those in need. So we take this responsibility because at that time we don't have any financial to build the home for the children. So we ask this to Father Jack, who was SVD congregation, who was working in Arusha Parish, Burka, and also Father Jack asking Christina Promjomko from Poland, who helped us to get the money to build the first home for the children. And this happens, the children now, they are there today, and we are helping them to get all those basic need and school.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you.
You know, Sister, as you're talking, I can almost get a sense that you're really the heart of Jesus touching the hearts of those children. How beautiful.
Thank you.
How beautiful, Sister.
Thank you. Now we have 15 children. We are living with them, the age of 2 years to 9. And really, we are taking care of everything. Yeah, I can say that.
And in the school?
In school, we have 100 children and 40. And we have pre-K, kindergarten, class 1, class 2, and 3. And next year, we'll have class 4.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Sister, what a fantastic thing that you're doing. And I know it's your heart was just open to those children, seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And to the mothers, you're not only touching the children, you're touching their mothers who really want their children cared for, and you're stepping in like the Blessed Mother and being their mother.
Yeah.
How beautiful. How beautiful.
And I keep getting the thought of Jesus saying, whatever you do to my children, you do to me. And Jesus must be very happy with you.
Thank you.
And I want to, go ahead, Sister. You had something more you wanted to say.
And then when we're staying with those children, every month we take to greet their mothers in jail. So their children, they are happy to see their mothers, but they don't want to stay there. Because we know that...
I can imagine.
Not the way Father described it. I don't think I...
So maybe we buy a few things to them, like a gift, so the children, they carry maybe soap or oil for their mothers or some piece of bread, like something like that. So their mothers are happy and the children, they are happy. But when I want to go, so I say, okay, I just pretend that I'm going to leave you here, so I'll come maybe to pick you tomorrow. They say, no, don't leave us. So I feel like the children, they get real what they want. That's why they don't want to stay there.
And yeah. You have touched their lives,
oh,
and
yeah.
They will remember you for the rest of their lives.
And but Donna, this is something that maybe your Rosary Guild could work with, because you make rosaries. Wouldn't it be nice to make 15 rosaries or more for the people so that they can get them over to them? Wouldn't
it
be?
Yes. Yeah. We definitely can do that. Yes.
Yeah, it would be good.
And Donna, we didn't give Donna to tell us a little bit about her ministry. We got her stuck with adoration. But not stuck, but, you know, tell us a little bit about what you do with your ministry.
With the Rosary Guild, it started when the Legion of Mary needed rosaries to bring to the hospital. And somebody had shown me patiently how to make the rosary. So if you've ever made rosaries, it's not easy. The knots are the worst part of it, and it can be very tedious and frustrating.
But I love the name of your group, Our Lady of...
Undoer of Knots. Yes. And the picture is of the angels at the Blessed Mother's feet with a cord of knots, and it's sort of like the worries and troubles of our lives. They hand it to her, and she undoes them. But we have a group of maybe like 20 people, and we have kids that are involved. And, you know, what better way to evangelize Jesus? You know, it's his story, it's his life, and we have a lot of laughs doing it, and, you know, which is very joyful. It makes us all very happy to be able to do that.
And you have different age groups in the...
We do. My daughter, my youngest, is there. She's 10. We've had 7-year-olds, and we have all the way up to 80-year-olds. You know, my teenage daughter and other kids. Yes. And like I said, it can be very frustrating. And
the reason why she said yes is when you said 80-year-olds, I was moving my hands. Because, you know, how...
It's not easy.
Don't give away your age.
No, I'm trying not to.
But also, I was thinking, besides all these other attributes, and Jesus is there, it's very therapeutic, isn't it?
Yes.
Hanging out with Palmer, I'm starting to learn things like that.
You know, I look at it as a door for many people, because a lot of people like to make things with their hands, and a lot of people can find the rosary a little, you know, tedious and repeating. But I find that through that, they find a deeper meaning with it because of what they're doing.
It's another door opener for Jesus into your heart.
Yes, it is. And that's exactly where the Blessed Mother will always lead us to her son.
You know, Trevor, I think we're going to move on with the next music, because it's time for Saints of the Day.
Oh, Saints of the Day.
Saints of the Day. Come, Tony.
Dr. Palmer, guess who the saint of the day is?
I bet it's St. John Hughes.
You're right, Dr. Palmer, because you asked me to do them, and 2 o'clock this morning I was doing them.
Do you know why I asked? Because this is the one-year anniversary of bringing the relics of St. Margaret Mary into our diocese, and we had 17,000 people go venerate those relics.
Absolutely, and there is a tie-in.
Yep.
And then when I reflected last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, it all tied in, because... St. John Hughes was devoted. He was a priest, and we have a priest here today. And he was devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Sacred Heart of the Blessed Mother. And it's the one-year anniversary for Margaret Mary's that you handled so greatly, Dr. Palmer.
I didn't do it. And God did it.
And there were so many tie-ins that I thought, well, okay, it's not that well-known, but it's going to be St. John Hughes. So St. John Hughes, he was born in France, and in 1601, as a matter of fact. And he had a great youth, and he was brilliant, brilliant. And he thought outside of the box many, many, many times. And he's considered probably, as I understand it, one of the most brilliant student ever to attend the Jesuit college. Mm. That's quite a...
Gee, I thought I was.
Sorry to disappoint you. He was the founder and initiator of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Mary and Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Along
with St. Mary Margaret. Yeah. Now, they're both giving equal credit.
The reason why I wanted St. John Eudes on today, in his writings and in his work, he has said, the salvation of the world will be accomplished by the unity and love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary being released across the world. That was a prophecy made years ago. I'm sorry.
And so it was. But you did say you weren't going to talk too much today.
Well, you did tell me
you weren't going to interrupt me.
Hey, Tony.
let me finish. So he is tied in very, very closely with Margaret Mary. the difference is that with St. John Hughes, this was his thing, his thought. But with Margaret Mary, Jesus did appear to her and told her that he wanted her to promote his Sacred Heart. And so that's what it was. But he also was a priest, and he also wanted to make a some sort of impression on the priesthood, because his thing was that he felt that the priests should serve the people. And I think that opened the door for what you would call today servant leadership, which Jesus so amply exemplified. And so he felt that all priests, no matter if they were diocesan priests or missionaries, they were there, and they should be a servant leader, or should be serving the people. And so he was a member. He joined the Congregation of the Oratory, and he was ordained a priest. And from the time he worked endlessly for the sick and the poor, just like Sister does. Yeah. So there's so many tie-ins. And so I said, it's got to be St. John Hughes. And so he just worked endlessly for the people, for the sick, for the poor. He promoted the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Sacred Heart of Mary.
And there's a prediction, I'm sorry, about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you promote the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your heart will be touched by Jesus forever.
Yes.
Beautiful.
He also, lastly, he composed the Mass in honor of the Sacred Heart in 1668.
Wow.
And it was made popular devotion to the Holy Heart of Mary. Mm. And he gave missions. And he, upon his death in 1680, I believe it was, and he was thus then canonized by Pope Pius the 11th, and his feast day was made August the 19th. Mm-hmm. So yesterday was his feast day. Yeah. So it just all tied in to mention a saint that's maybe not that well known, but has such a remarkable mark on our religion and the promoting of Jesus and Mary.
And everybody sitting around the table, I want you to know, Tony worked overtime till 1 o'clock this morning.
2.
And he's going to give 2 o'clock, and he's going to give me a bill. Nah. How much of a percentage on top of zero was how much?
Zero. But it just all, when I sat down and reflected, it just all tied in.
Oh yeah.
I was convinced Jesus wanted me to do St. John Hughes. Yeah. And so did John Palmer, by the way.
But you know, it just says, look at, he's touched hearts. Donna touches hearts. Father, sister, touch hearts. You give people heartburn, but you know.
You and my wife.
There's nothing new. There's nothing new. Jesus has been calling us for generations to open our hearts, to change our hearts. I want you guys to think for a moment, because I'm going to give another song. I'm going to drive Trevor crazy. But the we work on Trevor very hard. How do we get people to change their hearts? How do we get them to open their hearts? Listen to the words of the song. Listen to what's being asked.
Change our hearts this time. Your word says it can be. Change our minds this time. Your life could make us free. We are the people your call set apart. Lord, this time, change our
it can be.
said, love me with your whole heart, whole mind, and your whole soul. You know, and I'm going back to what you said, Father. He got you. You know, did you see the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yes, I did.
And when Jerry Maguire walks in and he tells this whatever the gal's name was in the movie, you know, whatever, I miss you, I want to be with you. And she said, you got me with hello. You know, isn't that what Jesus did to you?
Oh, he got me with Patrick, yes.
Yeah. And you know, we're talking to the people out here who have turned their back, and Jesus is saying, hi. Hi, won't you take a chance and come back? You may be angry at me. It's all right. But I ask you, even though you're angry, will you love me?
And with Jesus, you can change your heart, and reconciliation and healing will happen.
That's right. How about some ideas on how to get people to change their heart?
All right.
I went to the emergency room last night. Boy, my heart was changed.
Well, let me go back to the project that the students from the Newman Club decided to do to begin the great fundraising projects that they've done, the Rockathon. They said we would sit on rockers, we'd get some sponsors, and we'd be outside and this and that for hours and overnight or whatever it would take. So the first problem we had was, were you going to get rocking chairs at Long Island University? So one of the professors clued me in and says, every professor after 15 years on the job gets a rocking chair from the university. He goes, why don't you ask the provost if you can borrow some? So in any case, I went over and I asked the provost, and she said to me, how many do you need? I said, four would be really good. The next day, she gave me four brand new rocking chairs.
Wow.
I was there 1 year. I got 60 years worth of rocking chairs.
Right? What a job you're doing.
The second thing was, after a while, I needed a lot more students than just the kids in the Newman Club to fulfill the obligations of the sponsors. So I went to the baseball team because I had traveled with them to South Carolina for a weekend. So I went back to them and said, you know, I root for you. How about just come in and sit in a chair for an hour? That's all you got to do. And now the teams sign up. The volleyball team, the soccer team, the baseball team, everybody, softball team. It's who can I actually get in this year, you know, things like that. So I think if you want to include people, three steps. One, tell the story, what you're doing and why you're doing it in a way that the person listening can hear it. And it's best if you tell that particular person or the small group that you deal with. The second thing is you ask them to do what they can do. Like what you say, Donna, can you make the rosaries? You know, some people can, some people can't. Whatever job it is, some people can do it. But ask them to do the job they can do. And the third thing is, at the end, announce your success and say thanks.
Amen.
All right? And a big thing that I do is I take pictures at school and put them up and put their names under it. So the next year, they come back, I want to be in that again. And more people, can I be in it? Mm-hmm. So you tell the story, what you're doing and why. You ask them to do what they can do in the whole project. And you say thanks to them, and you announce this is what it is. And this past year, we've been very lucky because Sister came, and we could put a face on the project for the students and staff at LIU. And she brought pictures of the brand new bus with her and the children in front of it. So it makes it all authentic. What people are looking for is authenticity, the real deal. You know, not somebody just doing something, but to do the right thing for the right reason. So that's the way I would look at it.
Wow. Thank you.
Very good.
You know,
thank
this
you.
Guy here has his doctorate in entrepreneurship, this guy here.
Father should have a doctorate in entrepreneurship.
I think he just earned it. Thank you so much. Donna, I know you're an idea person. What kind of ideas have you had? Or can you come across any ideas that might help people say yes to God saying hi?
Well, first of all, I think we shouldn't be afraid to speak about Jesus and his love for one another.
Good.
Because we are the hands of Christ. But one thing that came to my mind, Monday at the Mass for the Assumption, I had this meditation of the Blessed Mother placing the Eucharist within my heart. And the thought was, like a gardener waters a seed to make the flowers grow or the plants grow, she wants to shower her graces on her son within our heart to help him grow in our heart. So I think, for me, I would say the Eucharist is such an important way to enter in a deeper relationship with Jesus. So by receiving Jesus in the Eucharist or just sitting in adoration, I really believe that that will bring, you know, people into a deeper relationship with Jesus.
And you know, too, that door to the adoration chapel, whether it's a church or a special chapel, is always open.
Yes.
And we don't punch cards on the way in.
Nope.
And we don't ask for a passport. It's wide open. And even if you're from Tanzania, you can come in, and it's wonderful. Sister, how about you? Do you have some ideas that could be helpful to try and get other people to open their hearts?
Yeah, to stay in the adoration is good to talk to Jesus directly. When there, you are going to imitate Jesus. When he was in suffering in the cross, so you when you feel that, you feel like you are really inside of Jesus, and Jesus is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, Dr. Palmer and Father and Donna and Sister, and also we do have two audiences. We have Peter and Nick also, so I want to recognize them. But does adoration have to be inside a building? Mm-hmm. Can adoration be done on a beach?
Yeah.
Tell him your story. Come on.
The reason why I asked is...
He knew.
I was at Montauk, and it was on the bay, and it's very calm, very quiet.
You're a beachcomber, aren't you?
I'm a beachcomber, just so to speak, and there's no one there, no one's ever there, and there are some chairs that you can sit down. So I thought I would create my own adoration, and I called it private adoration on the bay in Montauk. And so I did. And I sat on the chair, and I sat in front of the water. It was 5 feet from the water. And I started speaking to Jesus. And I sort of like created my own, what I thought was my own adoration. And I just told Jesus, I'm in front of the water. I know you were very fond of the water, and all the Gospel tells us that you walked on water and you found the water, and you were in the boats, and you got your apostles at the waterside. So I want to be by the water, and I just want to have adoration for you. And so I did. So, but John was mentioned in the building with doors, and so I was wondering, you know, I think we can do adoration wherever we are, whenever we are. Because Jesus is open to us.
Tell him the rest of your story. Come on, don't be shy.
Okay. What happened was, when I was talking, I got something in my head, and I said, okay, Jesus, but I would like confirmation. Can you give me confirmation? And also, I would like you to talk to my wife and tell her what you're telling me. Can you do that? So I was there for about an hour and a half, and I went up to the room, and I said to Joan, did Jesus say anything to you? No. Why? What are you talking about? And I kept asking, did you get anything yet? No. So then we decided, you know, we have beautiful sunsets in Montauk on the patio, and we started to take pictures of the sunsets. And on the first night when we took the pictures of the sunset, we got rays coming down from the sun, like the Divine Mercy rays, that color. And when we took pictures of me, it was on me. When we took pictures of Joan, it was on Joan. Second night, I did adoration, and the same thing. And we started taking pictures of the sunset. And pictures of the sunset came out as the adoration of the monstrum. So we took pictures, and I developed it, and I think that was Jesus's way of talking to my wife and telling her what was going on.
Anyone who is watching online, and we have a little television camera here, Nick is holding up the picture, and if you look at that picture over the water, it looks like a monstrance.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just a wonderful confirmation.
So it was a gift from Jesus. I could start crying, so I don't want to say anymore, but yeah. It was a
Come
gift.
Come on, Maureen, tough it up.
It was a gift, I'm sure.
And we know God listens. God listens. And on every show, Trevor, we're going to do the little healing piece. We get petitions from people, and we ask you, would you just join hands? All of us, even the come on guests, you're involved too. And we're just going to pray. Jesus, is my music there? Jesus, we ask you to enter into us. Change our hearts, Lord. Get us out of the way. Let you take over in our hearts. We're praying for the people who have been so hurt and devastated by this church scandals. People who have been so devastated and hurt because God didn't answer their prayers their way. People who have been so devastated and hurt because they have sickness or because a loved one is ill. And people are devastated and hurt because, Jesus, you promised to give us money to get by, and we're out of work. And Lord, these are all broken hearts. They're all broken hearts listening. Touch their hearts, Lord, now. Even though you may not resolve everything the way they want it, touch their hearts and let them feel your presence, feel your love. Feel your peace. Song in the background is Holy is His Name. Mary, the Blessed Mother, lead those who are mad at Jesus back to Jesus. Through your spouse, the Holy Spirit, and together every one of us go to God the Father. Touch the people who are listening. Touch those who are lost. Let them go to the water and see your monstrance. Let them be filled, Lord, with your love, your healing love right now. Even if there is a person listening who's on his deathbed, Lord, come to that person, touch them, let them know you love them. Praise you, Lord, and thank you. We have so many petitions that have been sent in. Mm-hmm. Tony, I know you have some, may have some of them on your mind, but we thank for David with the cancer being cleared out. We thank you for Teresa, for cancer being cleared out. And we thank you for Liz. We had her here last week, and her spirit is just wonderful. Liz has Chiari's disease.
She's our poster child.
She's our poster child for healing. And we thank her. And thank her for being with us, and thank her for her spirit. And she, even though she is dizzy and has heart palpitations, gets out of bed every day and goes to 12 noon mass in a van. The one thing we also thank God for is that Liz isn't driving that van. I'm sorry.
And we give praise to you, Jesus, for giving her husband, Scott, who's so loyal and devoted to her and so touching. And so we just thank you, Jesus, and thank you for the healings that you bestowed on these petitions. As John says, baby David and baby Veronica, who was cured of cancer, 3 years old, with very little possibility of it ever coming back. And thank you for the people that are depressed that are finding your way, and the people that are finding it hard to support their family and that are on the verge of losing their homes. We thank you for giving them support and love. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And we ask you, Jesus, too, let everyone who is in pain look into their heart and find you. Let them all look into their heart and say, things are bad, but Jesus is with me. And give them the peace of the moment that they need just to make it by.
And Jesus, I want to thank you for Donna, for Father Charles, for Sister, for our friends Peter and our friends Nick. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to Dr. Palm. Thank you.
Well, you need a lot of help. I'm glad you came. And Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, for being with us on this show. This is your show, Jesus. We know it. It's not our show. What we talked about today was kind of what you put in our heads. But you always bring people with beautiful, beautiful hearts who share their stories and touch others. And we thank you. And Trevor, we're going to put the last song on because We can all dance to this.
Can I just make an announcement?
Go ahead.
That if you have any petitions, you can email us at listenup1240@aol.com. That's listen1240@aol.com. Send us your comments, your petitions, your suggestions. We will respond to each and every one of them. We love you so much.
And this song is God is the Strength of Our Heart.
Praise Jesus.
See you next week, everybody. Listen and dance.
Thank you, everyone.
Beside you, my heart and my strength, many times they fail.
There is one truth.